everybody. This is Harriet Kamek, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, we are going to talk about what matters. And we're calling it this day, the oppression of the poor. And we're going to show you from Psalms 10, how God has been dealing with us and dealing with this from before the world began, from the foundations of the world were laid. God foreknew that there would be people who are leaders, people who are titans of industry, who are oppressing the poor through public policy, through legislation, and through the oppressiveness of societal impacts that are causing people all over the world, whether you live in the global south or whether you live in the global north, wherever you are, whatever ethnicity, whatever color, whatever language, whatever culture you are, the people, the poor, have been oppressed and are being oppressed. And God is not happy with it. And he's going to take, you're going to find out from Psalms 10 that God is particularly having issues with the shepherds, the people whom he chose and appointed to go stand on a stage and talk to you like I do. But he's also having issues with just everybody who thinks that they have a position in society. I mean, we've been watching, especially here in America, Hollywood has taught us a lot, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Hollywood has shown us through movies how Wall Street thinks. Remember The Wolf of Wall Street? Remember that one? And over time, there are other documentaries that have been made, such as Margin Call. There are a plethora of them on streaming services that you can watch that provide us with an insight into the decision-making apparatuses that govern these companies on Wall Street that cause friction here. So people get together in a boardroom. They come up with an idea of how they're going to make money. Then how they're going to make money becomes what? A policy that you have to apply for a loan at the bank that becomes oppressive, because everything that we do, every service that we have to buy, the energy that we have to use to power our homes, the car notes that we have, the insurances that we have to pay is governed by interest rates, isn't it? Yep. So those oppressive policies emanate from people, and what is in their hearts is exactly what Psalms 10 addresses. You've got to understand when you look at the big picture that God loves the people. God is interested in the welfare of the people. But you know whom God has a really soft spot for? Poor people, the poor. God looks at us through a different lens. And he looks at the people through the lens that I made you somebody and gave you something to do. And you are now wielding that power and authority to oppress my people. So we're going to take a deep dive into Psalms 10 to find out just how the poor are being oppressed and what God feels about it. But in the meantime, if this is your first time watching Down to Earth or listening to this broadcast, my name is Harriet Kamek. I'm an author and speaker. I also am the founder of the Exodus Foundation, an organization that provides relief services to women fleeing intimate partner violence and human trafficking. So go to our website, theexodusfoundation.com, to find out more information about who and what we do. And for that, you can always go to our website to find out more information about that. Amen? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 10. And we're reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. So if you don't have a Bible with you, then you obviously have the Bible app that can be downloaded to whatever device that you use. The major operating services, they all operate cell phones that have devices and tablets. Amen? Amen. So I'm using the New King James Version of the Bible. And we're reading from Psalms 10. So let's go to it quickly. It says, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? This is the psalmist. This psalm was written by David. Yeah? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. We all know that, right? They said, we don't know God. I don't know God. I don't know if God really exists. What's up there in the heavens? I don't know. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Allah, the people who bought Twitter. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. The wicked, he said, has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. Have you never heard people like that? I shall never be poor. That will never happen to me. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages, in the marketplace, in the boardrooms of Wall Street and the boardrooms across America. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. They create public policy, interest rates. Yeah? They determine whether you can live or die, whether you can operate a business or not, whether your business goes under or go out of business. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. So they get together and they come up with these policies that are determined to, listen to this, he lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So they sit down and scheme and plan and come up with these plans to make money, and they shake hands and high five one another. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. Listen to how they accomplish this. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. So now we the people are saying, arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. But why do the wicked renounce God? This is Psalms 10, y'all. Why do the wicked renounce God? Listen, he has said in his heart, you will not require an account. So the wicked says in his heart, God doesn't care. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper, O God of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. Mm-hmm. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. Father, in Jesus' name, let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in your sight this day. We pray right now for the people who are being oppressed by public policy, wherever they are, Jesus. People all over the world, people who are drinking dirty running water, people who have to wait on a man to come put a well in their village. Lord God Almighty, people who have to walk 10 miles to get to healthcare to see a doctor. People who, for whom a simple thing like an eye drop could cure the infection in their eyes. Lord God Almighty, the oppression of the poor. The wicked have permeated policies that have caused oppression to the poor. Even here in our country, oh God, cancer is running rampant through our bodies because they put stuff in the food that makes our bodies sick. They put stuff in something as common as milk, oh God, that makes our skin break out in rashes. They put stuff in the food, oh God, that causes human growth, that causes cancer cells to proliferate in our bodies. Then we get sick and go to the doctor. And when people get sick and go to the doctor, Lord God, then they give chemotherapy that kills off all the cells. They have stuff, Lord God. They have the remedy, Jesus, to cure our bodies, Lord God, and they won't because they continue to oppress the poor. Why should we give pills that will make them better when we can sell more drugs that will make more money and build up our coffers? So they sell more drugs that the people become addicted to and it causes them to make more money. The oppression of the poor, Lord God Almighty. Come down, O God. Arise, God Almighty. Come down on your people. Your people are now facing homelessness. again, Lord God, because of policies that the politicians have allowed. One administration caused legislation that Wall Street will never crash again, that will never cause subprime loans. Another guy rises up. He goes into office and he wipes out that legislation. And here comes the bad men of Wall Street. The wolves of Wall Street come barking at the people. So now people are about to lose their homes again. When they lose their homes, they're about to lose their jobs again. Interest rates out of control. Inflation ramming down on the people. Oh God Almighty, arise and hear our cry. Hear us, oh God. Bring relief to the people. Bring relief right now to seniors on Medicare, seniors on Social Security who have to eat out of a can. Lord God Almighty, seniors who are bent over under the oppression. We can see the oppression. They're worried constantly about the little Social Security that can barely pay their mortgage, barely pay their rent, can't even eat properly. Oh God Almighty, we pray you this morning that you hear our cry. Hear us from your holy hill. Come down, we implore you, oh God. Help your people. All these young people, Jesus went to college, Lord God Almighty, under the burden of student loan debt, because they tell us that you have to have a college degree to get a job. Mm-hmm. And so you take out loans to go get a college degree. The Big Ten colleges, all the colleges are licensed to be and are registered as nonprofits, but they have made billions in their coffers. They continue to get paid to provide a measly education, and then people graduate from college, can't get a job. All these young people becoming suicidal and saying it doesn't make any sense, nothing changes, there's no hope. And then you have the preachers, Lord God, I pour it out before you. The preachers, oh God. The preachers who see all of this and have become arrogant about the needs of the people, we bless you this morning. And we ask you to have mercy on the people who are being oppressed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what of this? What of this? I'm going to be honest with you, as I usually am, and I'm going to be fully transparent. I don't believe the only part of this scripture I have ever read is the part where it says, I shall not be moved. I kid you not. I never even knew when I dove into this week in preparing for this message that all of this was there. I had to unpack it. And in unpacking it, I found some scriptural revelations. I found that God is angry. So bear with me for the next 10, 12 minutes or so that I can unpack this for you, having read this, because I know you may not ever go pick up the Bible to read it. You may never even read Psalms 10, but I want you to hear these words that I am saying to you. God is not pleased. God is angry with everybody. God is angry with the rich. He's angry with the people in boardrooms. He's angry with the people in the Congress. He's angry with people in leadership positions. God is angry because his people are being oppressed. As we look around our world today, we look not just outside of our communities. We look around the world and imagine what it must be like to be a human being. You're not a dog. You're not an animal. You're not a lion, not a tiger, not an alligator, not even the common snake crawling on the ground. And human beings have to drink water, running water in a well, running water in the ground that is as dirty as the ground, where the sewage flows into it. Hallelujah, come on. We have been rapacious as capitalists, we in the global north. We have gone to the global south and took all their resources. All the resources of the world is where, say, in the global south. All we have here in the north is what? Precipitation and senses to go create policies on Wall Street. That's what our contribution to humanity is. Amen. That's what we do. We're thought leaders. We think. But the resources of the world is where? All the natural resources of the world. If you look at it, it's located in the global south. You think about oil. Where is that located? Global south, except for some oil you might find in Alaska or somewhere. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You think about all the gold, the diamonds, the silver, the copper. all the titanium, all the cadmium, all the minerals of the earth that they're killing people for in the Congo right now because there are rocks there that can literally create electricity. They're killing off the people for oppressing the poor. The oppression of the poor is not a joke. So you people who like to fire people and send people home knowing you are condemning people to poverty, understand it's not a joke. God is not pleased. So most people then who are rich, you notice in the world today, people are like, there is no God. I am God. There is no God. You know what their excuse is? Well, I've never seen God. I don't know what's above the heavens because God has never come down and said anything. So that is their excuse for oppressing the poor. That is their excuse for doing what they do, because what they're thinking is, if I can't see God, then what? I have no accountability to any force outside of myself. Clearly, they have no accountability to the people, because they and the politicians get together in the same rooms to do what? To determine policies. So when the people who are very wealthy, they look around and they say, that can't happen to me. They oppress the people. They effect policies that cause oppression. And you're looking at me like, what policies? Well, I want you to think about how much money you have right now. Let's say you are 70 years old. 20 years ago, you said, I can retire because I have $300,000 saved, right? Fast forward 20 years later, that $300,000 is like $30,000. Is that not oppression? They have caused inflation and interest rates to wipe out the value of your savings. So you might say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, that's arrogance, because it does. It applies to you when you go to buy gas, and instead of filling up your tank for $15 or $20, you're spending $55. The gas also goes faster, so you are spending more money at the gas tank. That's one. Number two, when you go to buy food, when it used to cost you $100 per week to feed you and your family, now it's costing you $500 per week to do so. When you could spend money to buy clothing and you need home repairs that would normally cost you maybe $2,000, $3,000 per year, now that same home repairs is upwards of $5,000, $6,000. Many of us have had to put things off and off and off. Amen. The things that we as women used to do, I can tell you, I as a woman, the beauty treatments that we do, because, you know, it takes a lot to be human and be female. And there are high expectations of us. So, you know, we want to go get our nails done and, you know, get a facial. Yeah, get our eyebrows waxed. Get our toes done. You guys like to look at us and admire us. Those same beauty treatments that, you know, was what we used to call disposable income. It is now costing almost one third of our budget. So we've had to retract and backtrack. That's what it's caused, the oppression of the poor. So here is where this comes in now. Now, you are saying to yourself, but Harriet, if God is aware of all of this, where is God? Well, let's start about the why. The why is the arrogance of people. So people became arrogant, right? And the more money they have acquired is the more wealth they have. This is why you look at the preachers and you say to yourself, he's not preaching with the same verbosity and passion as he used to preach, because he becomes numbed to the affairs of the people, because now he has risen in prominence and has risen with wealth. So now he has forgotten what it is like. So what he does is he looks at public policy, and what does he say? He says, that will never happen to me. You know how I know? It was 2008. If the preachers were really on their roll preaching and praising God and in rooms where God was, in the spaces where God occupies, or let's just say if they were on their knees before God, they would have seen this coming. They would have seen the crash that was coming, and they would have told the people, avoid the crash, don't refinance, don't take out any more money, don't do any of that. But the preachers were looking around when the crash happened. And what did they say? Just like the wicked, what did they say? They said what? They said, it can never happen to me. Adversity can never come to me. So in their arrogance now, they said, but where is God? That's why you are wondering why when they pray, nothing happens. Because they're not praying to God. God doesn't know them. Because they're actually not praying. They are repeating words that comforts you, that you believe that as a pastor, as a preacher, they would know God, but they really have no power because they're not spending time with God. So then their words become nothing. And so what has happened now, you realize that God is displeased because God is watching. And the reason, my friends, that nothing has happened to them is because the day of reckoning has not come. What is the day of reckoning? Judgment. Here's the thing, that one thing that I am sure of, having read the Bible. The day of reckoning, that day of judgment, is coming for all of us. When it happens, all of us, dead, all the people who died in millennia past and all the people who exist at the time, when God comes, everybody will be witness, because God is going to do it publicly in the public sphere. He's going to call up each and every one of us and ask us to give an account for what he gave us to do. The reason they are still proliferating is because God is still watching and he hasn't called the day of reckoning yet. So if they understand this, and so they continue to do it, because they're like, well, if I don't see God, then guess what? He must not exist. I've never seen him come down out of the clouds, so he doesn't exist. So you are literally sitting there teaching people and telling them to go to God, but you don't believe that yourself, because if you did, you would hold yourself accountable for your actions. I grew up in a day and time when I was a kid when the pastor was much more accessible. Yeah, my folks had a Baptist church. They had, what, probably about 50, 70 members or 100 members. But the pastor was still accessible. Everybody knew where he lived. So they could go to his house if somebody in the community needed prayer. Something happened and they needed prayer. They would know right away who to go to get what? Instructions from God. You know what I found? It was a different time. Cancers were not prevalent. In fact, if somebody had cancer, it was like within a 50-mile radius, there was one person. It was such a rare thing. You know what happens now today? Everybody's rich. All these folks come to you and they found some message in Malachi 3 and 8 and they tell you to collect the money and they get rich. And now everybody's rich and here are the people. So the people are being oppressed. And the poor especially are being oppressed. And here's the thing. They believe in the power of their wealth. And they say religion is for poor people. Have you not heard it? Remember, there was a guy who owned Time Warner years ago. He actually said that. He said religion is for poor people. He no longer has any companies, by the way, but he still has wealth. Amen? Amen. They also say they are cruel because of their arrogance. The arrogance. The fact that they walk through the earth. How dare you speak to me? How dare you touch me? This can never happen to me. This only happens to you. You know this because they say this happens to you because of your poor choices. You want to know how you know it's true? Look at your credit rating. So you think you're doing something good, right? Your credit score is above 720 or something. And you can get credit. And then you lose a job and you miss the payment on a bill. And your credit rating drops and you call the bank and you say, I need an extension on my line of credit. As a result of your credit rating, you have poor credit rating because of the poor choices that you make. The arrogance and the cruelty. Lord, have mercy. The policies that are oppressive. These people are deceptive. They are fake. They hate the innocent. And guess what? It results, it's almost as if they murder the people. How do they murder the people? How many people are dying from suicide? And how many people have died as a result of the primary breadwinner in the family commits homicide on his family, then takes his life? You are responsible for the murder of the people. You are responsible for all those people who are out on the streets who are homeless. And then you tell us this resounding message that it's because they are mentally challenged and they have mental health issues. Yes, I would have had mental health issues too, but for the grace of God. When I didn't have a job and they wouldn't hire me because they said I aged out of the workforce. Seriously, at 46, at 50, at 55, at 57, people age out of the workforce. You send people into poverty. What about the times when you fire people indiscriminately for no other reason, just because you don't like them anymore? Some guy's approaching 50 and it's time to parcel him out so you can get fresh young ideas. That's what you tell people. People who have spent 20 years building up your company. And you parcel them out because of some fresh ideas. You've condemned people to poverty. You've murdered them. The family is splintered. They're broken apart. The children end up on drugs. The father, the wife end up drinking. Whatever happens to them as a result of that, you contributed to the murder. You take people, you repossess, you increase property values. And then you charge higher property tax rates. You in public policy, you do the same thing. God is displeased with all of us. You are working, people working for you, and you fire them because you want to collect more money and keep it in your pockets. I don't know what messages you are listening to, or people are telling you stuff that massages your egos, and you feel so powerful because you have so much wealth. Matter of fact, let's take it all the way back to when Nixon under changed the backing of the US dollar from gold to paper. So now, based on valuation, everybody is a billionaire. What has happened since then? In the rush to become billionaires, in the rush to have more arrogance and more pride, what has happened? People have become more and more poor. Do you see what I'm saying? So here is the message for the people as we wrap this up. They're wrapping me up, telling me I got to get out of here. The people who are oppressed, God loves us. God loves the people. He's waiting on the day of reckoning to call every one of us. You don't have to worry and say, oh, well, Harriet, I'll be dead. Don't worry about it. The day of reckoning is the day of judgment. That judgment call, every man is going to be present. Every person who is down in the grave is going to have to rise up out of the grave and answer. That is the day of reckoning. It will come. Now, as for the poor people, I am asking you to join with me in prayer, that we pray as we have been praying the month of January, as we bring this fast to a close from Isaiah 58 verse 6, where we are breaking the yoke of poverty, breaking the yoke of poverty on poor people, not just here in America, but poor people everywhere else in the world. We are breaking the yoke, and I need you to look up and say, oh God, arise. Arise, O God. Lift up the heavy burden. Take the heavy yoke off the people. Arise, O God. Have mercy on the people. When the politicians won't have mercy, when the politicians and the people in public spaces, and when the people on Wall Street won't have mercy, arise, my God. Make a way where there is no way. Make a way, O God. Make streams flow in the valleys, O God. Flood the people with your mercy. Flood the people, O God, and bring relief and from the suffering. Bring comfort to those who need to be comforted. Cover your people, O God, great God of heaven and earth. I ask you and implore you this day, bring relief to the suffering of the people. Cut off the suicide and the homicide. O God, bring us peace in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We praise you now. And we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Amen.